Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm. Welcome to the College Campus Tailgate Show. We got you for the next 60 minutes. We're having a little technical difficulty, so I know if you called in and you just want to listen, don't press 1. You're fine. We got you. Otherwise, if you press 1, you'll be right here in the mix of things. We'll be going over the top 25 Power Conference conversation. Some interesting standpoints on teams that are falling, coaches as well, that could be potentially on the hot seat. And also a dish, in the words of Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. But we'll get into all of that and more, Sports City. Y'all just stay tuned. We got a lot going on right now in the kitchen, that is for sure. Well, we're outside with the cooler here at the tailgate. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped inside the kitchen. Timeless is alive.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight.
Yeah, well, we're having technical difficulty for real, Sports City, and I'm just gonna get right into it because Blog Talk, I am furious. I'm just gonna let you people know, Blog Talk Radio, I am so furious with you guys right now. It's like every year. Every year something's gonna happen, but there are bigger issues in the world, and I have bigger fish to fry. That's for sure. Well, let me get into it. My chefs and cooks alike are here in the building, calling from the southern region, or in the middle of the south, if you will. My brother Tommy B here at the tailgate. Welcome. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good.
Okay. And also, last but not least, from the Midwest region of the United States of America, and it's Sports City, I would like to say this, but the Buckeye himself, he's an alum, and this is the worst part about it. Mr. Russell, welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, the Brahma Bull is back for 2 weeks in a row, feeling great. Spent my morning thatching my lawn and doing a little bit of lawn work and thinking about today and what college football has to offer. And we got that great game tonight. Game day's there in Madison, Wisconsin, the premier game, Ohio State versus Wisconsin. We'll get into that later, I'm sure, but it's good to have Tommy, it's good to be back in the shotgun formation here with Tommy B to my left and TP Timeless to my right, because you know you are dealing with the Brahma Bull, the king of the woods, right here.
Well, I'm the quarterback, no? So you should be out to the left and Tommy to the right or whatever. Like I'm throwing the ball around a lot, okay? Just don't get that messed up. I'm Brad Kai. I was going to say JT Barrett, but I can't hate on JT. He's a good player, but I don't want to give him credit right now. I don't want to give him credit. I'm a Hurricane. I don't care. Okay, so we –
just
like
me
and
I don't want to get it.
Yeah, and I got a good opportunity for Tommy to catch the ball. That's 6'9". You got to deal with 6'9". I'm cheating. I'm throwing a jump ball all day long. So try and beat him to the pass. Shoot, we could pick up first down after first down for all I care. Okay. Let me get into some interesting news and notes around the nation. I was going to say the league, but this isn't the world. I mean, if you want to look at it like that, interesting enough. Or I could let Doc cook first and foremost, because I know Doc had a lot of very interesting dishes that he would like to get to the kitchen also. And you know, you know what? I'll let Doc get the kicking. I'll let Doc get the cooking. Doc, the first and foremost, I want you to go to the running back, and then we'll go from there. Let's start with the running back first, because I actually have some notes from what you gave me as well. Doc, are you there? Doc, are you still there? Are we having technical difficulty? This is getting rough on me. I don't know if he muted himself or if he's having difficulty getting to us, but he's still in queue right now from what I see here. in which I can actually try to get to the situation that he was addressing about Leonard Fournette, the running back from LSU. But I don't want to give away his dish because I know he had a lot to jump into. You know what, Tommy, I'll let you set it off first wherever you would like to start in the college atmosphere, one with one of the matchups. But I don't really want to jump into the matchups as well, because I wanted to kind of save that for the end of the show and not really give up too much of our meat and potatoes, if you will, of what we have. Is there anything that you would like to show interest in, whether a game that's already taken place? Your thoughts here at the tailgate.
Yeah, we keep talking about coaches on the hot seat. I got two more. One in the South, one out West. Let's start the South since that's closer, and then I'll move out west. Dan Mullins, Mississippi State. What are you doing at Mississippi State besides losing? Because they had a guy there that was not bad. He was winning, and you got rid of him. So... Dan Mullins, goodbye. Pack your bags, go be an offensive coordinator somewhere because you're not a head coach. I do not, and this is what aggravates me, Ty, when people talk about how the SEC is this and the SEC is that. Wait a minute. Mississippi State, if the SEC is good as you make it out to be, top to bottom, Mississippi State should have beaten BYU last night. But you lost in double overtime. I'm so sick and tired of this. SEC is the best conference and everything else. No. The SEC is a one-team league that the SEC pretty much protects. Because I don't see Alabama losing this year until they play in the playoffs. It's that simple. Because the SEC, there's nobody else that can make the playoffs with them. Unless A&M goes unbeaten. And they don't want A&M. So, Dan Mullins, get ready. Pack your bags. The end of the season, you're gone. Thoughts, Doc?
Well, this is interesting because they did lose to BYU. This was a game where, like you said, it went into OT. And was this more or less fool's gold situation, because we actually watched Dak Prescott run the show there. And while Dak goes to the league, these guys are under 500, can't win on the road. Both home and away are identical. Both of them are, you know, 1-2. They're 1-2 at home, 1-2 away. Is it more or less a situation where the university may look at this as a rebuilding situation, with them not only losing their quarterback but also losing a running back? As well in this current time, and also this is an out of conference game, and you can't really poo poo too much at BYU, even though this isn't the same BYU that we're used to seeing of Tyson Hill and you know company. But Mississippi State did as much as they could to dominate in certain areas, and still didn't take care of this game. So with BYU winning this one in overtime, knowing that you know. And the second OT, is it the second OT where they have to start? No. Actually, they didn't. I think it's the third overtime where they have to start going for two. But nevertheless, BYU was able to hold them off to three scores in which they actually had the lead going into the fourth quarter. BYU tied this thing up and ended up winning it late. So I don't know if they actually give him a little leeway to say that he's trying to turn this organization or the university around while actually losing a big personality in Dak Prescott. But, I mean, Fitzgerald, he down there was 50% passing. They had a good day in the decent day running from Williams as well. But I want to know how you guys feel about this one. Doc, do we have you back? I know that you said you're having a difficulty. Let me know if you're here, Doc. Can you hear us or can
yeah.
you speak?
Okay. No, I'm okay. here. Can you hear me now?
We got you. You're good to go.
Well, how about that? Yeah. As far as Mississippi State and Dan Mullen goes, you know, I just while I was listening to you guys talk, I was looking at his record, and you know, it's not bad, 55-35 heading into this year, but there was really only one standout season, and that was a couple of years ago, and they didn't even win the division. Now, obviously, it's a tough division, but at what point? This is a question we asked last year. You know, it's like, if you're a program, do you know your place? It's like Kirk Ferentz in Iowa. Iowa's probably not going to win a national championship, but they can be competitive one or two years out of every five, and that's good enough for Iowa. It's just the facts. Mississippi State's kind of in the same boat. So, you know, why we could call for Dan Mullen's head, 55-35 record at Mississippi State, considering what it was before he got there, probably isn't that bad. They're just going to have to get used to, you know, losing four or five games a year in a good year. So, but I will say this about that game. Maybe we'll talk about some Heisman issues later on, but there's a running back for BYU that is not too shabby. And I'm talking about Jamal Williams. You know, we all the Heisman hype is all about the big name players on the big teams. That's really not what the Heisman is. Heisman, it's part of that. But there are a lot of other people out there, like Jamal Williams, that's playing on a decent BYU team. I mean, you look at BYU, they played six Power 5 conference teams, and they have a 3-3 record. That's better than a lot, you know, take that as their conference record. They're an independent, but that could be their conference record. That's not bad. It's BYU we're talking about here. So Jamal Williams, BYU, had a great win against Mississippi State. He didn't have a spectacular game, under 100 yards rushing, but I don't think it's an embarrassment for Mississippi State to have lost this game, and I certainly don't think that Dan Mullen should be on the hot seat at this point because it's Mississippi State.
Do you think this is a situation where they give the coach a little leeway and say that this is a rebuilding situation since they lost the majority of their backfield last season?
I think he's earned it. I think he's earned some leeway before he gets, you know, obviously we'll see what happens this year and what happens next year. The noose may get a little tighter, so to speak. But, yeah, I think he's earned some slack.
So, Tommy, you think this is the end-all, or do you think that he may get one more season after this one at least, or do you think that they get rid of him like a lot of other coaches in the SEC have been looked at under the microscope?
I mean, I don't see why they haven't, because the guy that was there before him at Crimpton, I mean, he was winning. He was there. But, you know, who knows? Some of these universities, I can't figure out when they keep coaches. And he'll probably be back, and then they'll have another losing season. The only thing that can win his job is that he wins that Egg Bowl.
And that would be big if they could get that done. And the other coach that you had on slate that you wanted to talk about to see if he's on the hot seat as well.
Oregon. That whole coaching staff, at least defensively, that's that. What the hell happened? No, Oregon.
Oh, God. Doc, I'll let you start it off first. Your thoughts on this? I don't even know if we actually look at the head coach, the entire coaching staff. Do you blame it on how they're recruiting and not going to get the star quality, either quarterback or speedster wide receiver or speedster running back, because it's not looking like that's working any longer? Your thoughts on Oregon's situation right now?
Well, you know, one of the reasons Oregon's defense sucks is guess who's calling the shots on that side of the ball? Jabba the Hoke. They got Brady Hoke as the defensive coordinator, so I'm not shocked. What I think what we're seeing with Oregon is, look, they're not going to be the program they were under Chip Kelly. He brought something to the fold, probably some questionable ethics to the fold as well, which is why he was run out of town. So, you know, again, I liked what Tommy B had to say, frankly. Who knows? You know, who knows why these schools do what they do? But Oregon is another example. Yeah, they flirted with a national championship a couple times. They had a great run. But is that really Oregon? I mean, there's a handful of teams in this country that can be in a position to win a national championship. And so you ask yourself, is Oregon one of them? Now, if they really fall off the – there's no reason why Oregon can't be competitive. So that's going to be the question you got to ask. And right now, they're not very competitive.
And the way that they lost in the past it up against Washington, and I actually called it when Washington got finished with Stanford. I was clearly saying it, that the Ducks have a problem in Eugene, and figured that would go the same way. And I was actually talking to Tommy while this game was actually in play. And the score just kept going up and up. And increasingly, I really want to look at Oregon on when they will try to come out and get stops, like as a cohesive unit moving forward. Because, like, of course, the name of the game is outscore the other opponent. But they have to actually show some convincing manner to come up with stops. Otherwise, they are going to have those 45 to 50 type of games. And this is why I question defense being played in the Pac-12, no less. But this situation, it, just like Tommy said, I agree with them wholeheartedly that they may end up showing this coach the door if the Oregon Ducks can't turn this around and start picking up big wins at the tail end of this season. Tommy, I mean, from what you see, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. Was that Doc or Tommy that was trying to speak before I –
Well, I thought you were done. I apologize. I just wanted to say, what's the vision? That's what you ask a guy. Oregon's in transition, okay? So you ask the coach at the end of a bad season. They're 0-3 in the conference, 2-4 overall. They've given up 251 points so far this season. They're 500 at home. What's the vision? Where are you going? Because it's not going to be the same thing that Chip Kelly ran. You're not going to be able to pull that off. Again, so where do you see the program? What's your scheme? What's your identity going to be?
I mean, they're not able to get quarterbacks. I mean, they have not had a good quarterback since Mariota. I mean, don't take nothing away. Last year, they played better when Adams came in, was the quarterback, the transfer from, I believe it was Eastern Washington. They were all right. But he couldn't stay healthy. That game last year, that bowl game against TCU, they were winning big. And Adams got hurt. Everything just fell apart. It's like they can't get that quarterback to come. They can't find that quarterback. Or defense.
Okay, defense, that's why I question the Pac-12 altogether. They're 2-4 right now, right? They're on a bye week. So they have time to try and turn this thing around. And I was losing his first name. I wanted to make sure I said it right. And it was Helfrich, but I wanted to make sure it was Mark or Matt, and it was Mark. They have an interesting tail end of the season. Three of the games, which I think are tough games, which would be USC, and I don't know, the jury is out on Stanford. I really want to give Stanford credit, but today may be a situation where if they lose today, Stanford has their own issues to answer, and Utah to round out the situation on three of their tough games that I see in their future. But they have Cal, they have Arizona State, they also have Oregon State in their remaining six games, which I think they could potentially get three out of those games if they come to play up against Cal. But that game is in Berkeley, no less. If not, if they can't win that game up against Cal, I think he will be shown the door because he had – you know, so much focus is on Oregon as being one of those powerhouse schools for far too long. This has at least been going on for the past, I want to say, 7 to 10 years. Oregon has actually been a force to be reckoned with offensively. I mean, they're not even putting those points up on the board anymore. They're actually giving up 70 points to Washington at home They're giving up 51 points to Washington State, where Washington State is trying to turn their situation around. Colorado ended up giving them 41 as well. Their wins that they had this season were against University Cal Davis and also Virginia, and both of those games were in Oregon. Both of those games were in Oregon. So this is a testy situation for Helfrich to get this thing turned around, which he actually picked up a gem while Chip Kelly walked away, and now it's actually off or not at this current time.
What did I say last week? What did I tell you guys last week the Pac-10 is going to do to us all? Giant shit burgers is what we're all going to be eating when we talk to Pac-10, because I think there's some distance from the top to the bottom, but from the second tier on down, it's bad defense and so-so football. I don't know another game Oregon's going to win, to be honest with you. I mean, look at their schedule. Stanford, they're going to pull that off? I mean, Arizona State's having a pretty decent year. Where are they going to win?
Oregon State.
Oregon State? Okay. So what? Three more victories out of the last six, and that or seven, that's the best case scenario. I mean, they're looking at a 5-7 season at best. So anyhow.
So you think they lose that game to Cal as well?
I don't know yet. I mean, again, you're giving up. If their defense can hold somebody under 40 points, I like their chances. But
right.
That seems to be pretty tough.
Right. Right. And the jury fill out. Tommy, do you think how many? So you only think they get one win at the tail end too, Tommy?
They'll get one or two. Because like Doc says, it's hard to pick at Pac-12. Because you don't know. I mean, look at last week. Out of all the Pac-12 games that we picked, I was confident on that Arizona would go in and beat Utah. And then they turn around and lay an egg. So you don't know which team is going to show up every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. Doc, I know there were a fair amount of dishes that you would like to get to before we actually start to get to some of the picks. For today's games, like I said, I had a couple of interesting things written about the running back, if you will. But start throwing some of these dishes out, because you do have a good amount of some great quality dishes today as well.
Well, as I was trying to say at the top of the show before the BTR bugs got me, I like to cook on charcoal, slow and steady. So here's what I got on the grill. Last year, one of the big stories in all of college football, especially as it related to the Heisman Trophy, was the dominance of Louisiana State running back Leonard Fournette. Well, unfortunately, how a year can turn. He's been hurt. He's not going to play today. So my question is, what is the future for Leonard Fournette? Is he going to play again this year? Is it worth playing again if you're him? This guy's going to the NFL in April. What are your thoughts on all of that? We'll let Ty be the quarterback here, but it really is. You know, McCafferty as well, he was a big name last year, and he's kind of tailed off. But Leonard Fournette really had the big upside last year, and people were really salivating over him. Big guy, a lot of talent. So where does he go from here? This season, LSU season's in the tank. They're not going to challenge for the division or the conference. So is it worth coming back, or does he need to get healthy? And if he can, then get in there and run as hard as he can run.
Well, Tommy, I know we've talked about Fournette a couple of times, but this is like the moment of truth. Your thoughts on Fournette's future as a Tiger?
All right, do I look at this as a fan or as a GM? As a fan, you want him to get healthy and come back and play when he can. But you get some of these GMs, we know how it is, when it gets closer to April, you're going to start hearing stuff. It happens every year. He'll come out, he'll say, well, he's this and he's that. He could have played, but he didn't. He could quit on a team. I mean, you have some of these GMs and some of these people in the NFL look stuff and they nitpick way too much. I personally think he needs to stay healthy or get healthy first, not stay healthy. Get healthy when he's there. See what he can do. Because you got to put more out on the tape for people to see. Definitely with Les Miles not there. I think Les Miles ran that man to death when he was there because he didn't have a quarterback. That's where all these injuries are starting to catch up. I'm wondering if he's even going to have a good career in the NFL.
So do you think this is the end of the road for him? This is his last season there.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He's good as gone as Dalvin Cook is at Florida State. They're good as gone.
Okay, and this is how I look at it for Leonard Fournette. I agree with Tommy. I don't know how Doc feels about it. I think that he leaves this season, and actually, to answer Doc, I think he sits out for the remainder of the season. No, there's nothing else to jeopardize right now. Even though he may not be in the running for the Heisman, people know what they're getting. They're getting a quality-size running back, weighs over 200 pounds. He can run with power or finesse, and he could actually make people miss also. So, but he actually is one of those backs that rather go with his power, so it works for him. But definitely, if I had to choose between one or the other, I think he continues to sit out and miss the remainder of the season while LSU looks questionable, to say the least. Doc, your thoughts on Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, I would say if he's healthy, he needs to play. If you're a competitor, if you're a baller, you got to play. And if I'm a GM of an NFL team and my scouts are telling me, the kid's healthy, he could play, but he's just loafing it or trying to, not play, and I don't think Fournette's that kind of guy, I would have some reservations. LSU's not going to have the season they thought they were going to have. But if he's healthy, he needs to play. Now, with that said, the coaches, I think, need to do him some favors, and Tommy B hit on it. Les Miles ran this kid to death last year. I think the coaches at LSU, if they're going to put him in and he's healthy and he should play, need to realize, running this guy 30, 40 times a game for the remainder of the season is probably not in anybody's best interest. So those are just some thoughts. I think he's gone after this year. I'm not even sure. He may even be a senior. I don't even know. A junior, perhaps. But I think he's, regardless, he's NFL eligible, and I think he's out of here.
Okay.
He's a first-round pick.
And that's what the one thing I was thinking about in my head, and I throw that out there, does his stock drop because he's missing games? And he's had an injury pass not only this season but last year, too. He missed time as well. So I definitely wanted to see if he did sit out, would that actually, watch him drop to a second round potentially, but – So you
all runbacks are problems, no matter how good you are. GMs just don't draft them like they used to.
Yeah, okay, I think stock drops if they find out he's loafing or skating. If he's
right.
Hurt and can't play, he has plenty of opportunities through pro workout days, the NFL combine, and all of that, to show that he's back up to par. But if it's a thing where, well, I just don't feel like playing, I mean, we're talking millions of dollars here for a guy that can't man up. If that happens, that's what will hurt his draft stock, in my opinion.
Okay, well, to add on to this situation, how about Christian McCaffrey, since you kind of brought him up, but we didn't speak on it. Your thoughts on McCaffrey, especially while Stanford is struggling. Tommy, I'll come right back to you. Your thoughts on McCaffrey, and they definitely need to get it done today up against another struggling team in Notre Dame. Don't give me the winner in that game, because we'll be going over that also.
Tom, remind me, didn't I come on here and say watch McCaffrey not be the same McCaffrey before the season started? Because they didn't have a proven quarterback, and the offensive line wasn't proven. This is exactly what I thought. In the last time I saw, McCaffrey could have been out today against Notre Dame for injuries. So, I mean, I don't know. But this is exactly what I thought would happen with him. They did have a proven quarterback that could throw the ball downfield, and they had a young offensive line. Now, he's one that I'm on the fence with. I don't know if he'll go pro or if he'll stay and get his degree, because really he doesn't need the money. Look who his father and mother is. So he may be one that stays. I'm not sure if he'll go or not.
Okay, Doc, you actually brought him up. Your thoughts on McCaffrey, can he actually finish his season out pretty well? And is he, you know, basically going to be a big name in the draft, or do they look at him as a specialist? I mean, your thoughts on McCaffrey, since we kind of tied him together with Fournette.
Yeah, last year's two big college football running backs having a down year, and the San Jose Mercury News is reporting that McCaffrey remains questionable. So Tommy was correct. He remains questionable heading into this game today. He hasn't had a good production in the last couple of games. He hasn't even scored a touchdown, as far as I can tell, in the last couple of games. So Notre Dame's defense sucks. This is an opportunity for him maybe to get back going if he can. And so we'll have to pay attention to see if that happens. But I would agree. I think McCaffrey's in a situation where he'll stick around, I think, for another year. I don't know if he's a first-round pick next year if he leaves early. With the way the NFL now is skittish on taking running backs, we'll see. Maybe he closes the season out strong. But last year he had over 2,000 yards rushing and over 600 yards receiving. This year he's not on pace for anything close to that.
Okay, and I agree. I don't think he's a first-round pick myself. I think he's going to be a late-round steal and see whoever picks him up. And he'll be more or less special team return guy, whether it's punt or kick return. I don't think they'll use him to be a feature running back. Like I can only think of a handful of small running backs his size. The one that comes to mind is Danny Woodhead or potentially Ward Dunn, but that, you know, that's probably it. Well, or Sproles too. I'm missing Sproles too. There's probably a handful that we can continue to, you know, announce and list, but I don't know. McCaffrey, to me, I don't think that a coach or organization will push him to run the rock in the league next year. But right now in college, I get it. They have that smash mouth type of football. He hides behind the blockers and tries to get, you know, big gains or things of that nature, but I question how things look for him going to either the next level or if he has to go across the border as well, either or.
Let me throw this out real quick and we can move on. Out of the three big running backs, who do you think goes first? Cook? You got to put him in there. Dude's a beast, I'm sorry. He may play for that team up north, but he's still good. Fournette or McCaffrey?
I'm going to say easy no-brainer, especially if they let him heal. I'm going with Fournette. I'll go with Fournette.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I would
take
Cook.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you said Cook, Tommy?
Yeah, I take Cook first. Dude's got the speed. He's proven to stay healthy pretty much. And when he was hurt, he come out, they rest him for a little bit, and he finished. He can run out of the backfield, catch the ball. And if he gets it going, you're not catching him. Fournette, you can catch. So if I can get that home run, I'm taking him.
The interesting thing about this is with Devontae Freeman, and he's in an exceptional offense for him to flourish. But he's that type of scat back that is not really working in the NFL. Like, and I hate to do this to both of, well, all three of us, because we're all tied to the individual one way or another. But look at Duke Johnson right now. Like, Duke hasn't been able to get going yet. And I kind of compare them to, because they both have that home run hitter type of speed mentality, can make people miss. but Duke is in a bad situation out there in Cleveland. You know, so Dalvin may – if we look at – wait, say that again?
I say he's in Cleveland. They don't know how to use him. Plus, they use that Correll more than they do him. The only time they put Duke in there is on third down, and they'll swing him out and they'll dump it off to him and expect him to break five tackles just to pick up 15 yards for a first down.
I mean, that's Doc's team. That's Doc's issue. But nevertheless, like I said, he would if we look at Dalvin Cook's situation, Dalvin may be potentially in the same situation. It's not like Dalvin's going to go to a New England or Pittsburgh or you know, a team that is a potential playoff banner type of team. You know, he's going to go to a team that's going to be at the bottom of the league, and he's going to have to work tooth and nail to make this thing happen. Where Fournette, he has that NFL build already. Like, all he has to do is basically break a run and get that crowd pumped about his capability to run the ball. That's the one thing I think it's easier for Fournette to gauge the crowd and the team than it would for playmaking scat backs. I don't want to take away from what they do for a team, but I definitely think Leonard has the edge over both of those running backs.
Hey, I got another quarterback or a running back that popped on the screen. Does Chubb stay or does he go?
Nick Chubb. Well, Doc, how do you feel about Nick Chubb? Does he stay or go?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I haven't really followed a lot of what's going on in Georgia. My inkling is, so look, here's your running back core. Fournette, Cook, McCaffrey, you've got Chubb, Wayne Gilman of Clemson, Samaje from Oklahoma, Perrine, Royce Freeman of Oregon. You know, I think without knowing a lot about the Nick Chubb experiment in Georgia, I would say if you're not in the top part of that list, Curtis Samuel, Ohio State, if you're not in the top part of that list, and you're not going to go in the first round because I don't think more than four of those guys are going to go in the first round, then maybe you stay and try to, you know, build up your NFL cred a little bit.
Okay. One more topic, Doc, before we actually start getting into some of these picks and games for the weekend. And I think this one is an interesting one also.
Well, I've got a couple of things here I can choose from. So we'll just go maybe with we've been talking coaches a lot in this broadcast, the ones that are in trouble. But what about the ones that are good and maybe the GOAT, the greatest of all time? And when that conversation, obviously Urban Meyer is starting to make his mark at Ohio State. But what about Nick Saban? You know, I remember in the late 90s as a student at Ohio State, 1998 to be exact, I was at the game. Ohio State was steamrolling opponents on their way to play in the national championship game. I think that would have been the first year of the BCS national championship game. Clearly had the best team in the country on paper. But a Nick Saban-coached Michigan State team silenced 100,000 in the horseshoe. And one of the biggest upsets of the decade occurred that day. And he has been a success in the collegiate level everywhere he has gone, winning a national championship at LSU and now four at Alabama. And when you watch Alabama play and you see them go up against other schools, even like today against Tennessee, it's like you have Alabama and then everybody else. They really stand out above every team that they play, except for Ohio State. But I will say the question then, I will ask the question, is he, though, the greatest of all time in terms of a college football coach?
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on Nick Saban and his legacy. Do you agree that he may be the best coach of all time, or where do you place him if not?
one thing about Nick Saban I can't stand, and he's proven it. If you're a top-notch cut player, you can pretty much do whatever you want. If he doesn't need you, then he don't care. He's proven that. You've had kids that were arrested on the offseason, right before the season. He suspended some, and he kept the big-time players. You just had a kid arrested, what was it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, arrested for a pistol, not having license, and he's still on the team. No suspension, no nothing. So once again, he's another one of these coaches he's okay. Just like Urban Meyer. He does the same thing. He did the same thing with JT when he got busted for that DUI. He suspended him for a no-name team. So once again, that's all they play, a bunch of no-name teams. But, I mean, is he one of the best? He's up there. He's at least two, maybe one, two, three. I mean, you got to look at some of the other coaches at Alabama. Trying to think. Pete Carroll, what he did at USC is up there. Of course, that's shady, too, because he bounced after the NCAA jumped him, come after his ass, so he jumps the ship. I'd like to have seen what Trestle could have done at Ohio State. I mean, but once again, they show their true colors, get busted by the NCAA. But, I mean, yeah, he's up there.
Yes, Saban has heading into this year, his record is 100 wins and 18 losses at Alabama. And I think that total is minus some games that they had to forfeit the 1 year for whatever reason. I can't remember. You know, I tend to count those games for any team, frankly. But the guy, how many times has they lost in the last, you know, few years? Not very many times. That's at Alabama. And he had set up a good program in LSU and, like I say, Michigan State. You know, you talk about Pete Carroll. Well, you can be a part of the conversation, but that guy choked away a lot of talent at USC. And we saw what Pete Carroll's capable of in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So, you know, when you're talking about the greatest of all time, I don't tolerate a lot of room for error. And I'm looking at Saban's career, and I can't find a situation where he choked away a victory from, you know, embrace the jaws of defeat from victory. This guy is about as steady Eddie as it comes.
I mean, you got to throw Snellenberger in there. He wouldn't have jumped ship. Who knows what Miami could have been. Jimmy Johnson, I mean, I could go on. I mean, don't even get me started.
Yeah, wow. You look at national championships. You know, wins are important. Conference domination is important. But when you start talking about the greatest of all time, what separates the men from the boys or the wheat from the chaff, as we used to say, national championships. And right now, there's nobody in the five title club coaching in college football that I'm aware of. Urban's got three. Saban's got five. So how many coaches in the history of college football in the modern era have five national championships? I don't know how many people are in that club, but not many.
Right. So I think the edge would have to go to him by default. No, even the one that he lost.
Well, yeah. And that was a hell of a game. You know? And one thing that we found out, though, just as a side note, and not to get in the weeds on this, the one way that you beat Alabama is with a mobile quarterback. If you line up, and this has been the case for 10 years now under Saban, if you line up and try to run it down their throat, you're not going to have a whole hell of a lot of success. They are well-coached, disciplined, and have talent. And if you can run, you know, east to west on them with a mobile quarterback, there's success. But that's about it.
I agree with the panel. Until somebody steps up and shows that they have the coaching ability to not only coach a team up but to also beat them, it won't happen. It won't happen. I think Nick Saban is the Bill Belichick of NCAA football. Okay, so we are a quarter of the way close to the end of the show. I want to go over picks. Now, it's interesting, Sports City, because I had this tagged a different way. There were games that Doc had hit on that he said, well, why don't we go against the spread? So his outcome was a little bit different. But if we were just picking winners and losers, excuse me, Doc and Tommy tied at 7-5. I came in at 6-6. So I came in last place. I need to redeem myself today. So I'll let you guys start this one off. Where would you like to go? Or are we just doing top 25? Is there any game that piqued your interest before we start to get into some of these top 25 matchups? I'll ask you first, Doc.
No, let's just take them as they come. You know, last week against the spread, I think I was 4-7. I ran into some trouble with Alabama and Ohio State. I thought Ohio State would cover, and they didn't. I had a little bit of a disappointing game against Indiana, in relative speaking. And I didn't think Bama would cover, and they did. But I was kind of happy with that outcome because anything that has Burt Bielema written all over it deserves to be crapped on as much as possible.
Yeah, and he made me look awfully pitiful by going with Arkansas. But Alabama came in there with the chainsaws and cut everybody down. Okay.
Well, you
so
know who had the
first
big pick last week was Tommy. He called the big shot, Navy over Houston.
Well, no, he took Houston, but he said that Houston wouldn't cover. But he said he wouldn't be shocked if Navy won, and Navy pulled that out. So, and I gave him credit. I got to do it again. I give Tommy B a lot of credit on that call out, or calling Houston out. And shout out and kudos to the Navy. I mean, now the you guys are no secret now, because you knocked off a quality team that was in the top 10.
Yeah, and
okay,
Texas
so
lost and gave up 45 points doing it, and there were some other close ones as well.
Do we talk about Coach Strong? Is Charlie C getting hotter?
Yeah, well, last week we talked about it, and I thought if he gave up a whole bunch of points and looked bad in that game, he might not survive the week. Well, he survived the week, but he gave up 45 points, and he's the defensive guy. His seat's hot, and you know you want to throw Brian Kelly into the mix too. Notre Dame's sitting at 2-4, probably going to be 2-5 after today when they play Stanford.
We will be discussing that game, that is for sure. The Elmer gave up 50 points again. I think they're letting Strong get to the end of the season. Tommy, your thoughts on Coach Charlie Strong? Does he remain the coach, or do you think they'll get rid of him mid-season?
He's gone because, once again, the big donators, they can't keep their mouth shut. They'll threaten not to throw that money out anymore to the university. The ones that didn't want him, they'll threaten not to throw the big money out and everything. And the president and AD will be like, hey, we can't do this. We can't lose that money. What they know, all you do is front. All you know, all they're doing is fronting. They didn't want him from the beginning. He's good. I don't want to say he's good as gone, but he's gone.
Okay, well, let's get into these games, because I feel bad for Coach Strong, but just like Doc made us aware, he's giving up 40 burgers all across the board. If you play Texas, it can happen to you in a good way.
He'll
get
another job.
Say that again, please.
He will get another job.
Oh, yeah, I think so. It just wins. I don't want him to get another big personality type of job like Notre Dame or – you know, one of those schools that have the availability, unless he can turn it around up there. That'll be very interesting. Okay, so I want to get to some of these 12 o'clock before they elapse. North Carolina State up against Clemson. Does anybody feel the Wolfpack can go into Death Valley and beat the Tigers?
I don't think they do it, But unless you all have a different line, Clemson's favored 19.5.
Yeah, I got him at 17.5, but I straight up Clemson against the spread, Clemson, give him 20 points for all I care.
NC State does have a bad defense overall. Offense at times is suspect, but, yeah, give me Clemson if they come out and play like they should.
You think they cover as well?
Yeah. What line are we doing, 19.5 or 7.5? Really, actually,
well,
you know what?
Like
really,
Tommy, you have the more updated line, so we'll go with your line.
So 19.5, that would be. We're going with the 19.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all agree there. The next matchup is an interesting one. They both sit at 3-2. Kansas State up against Oklahoma in Norman. How do you guys feel about this game? The Wildcats or the Sooners? I'll come to you first, Tommy.
I'm going, give me Oklahoma.
Okay. Doc, Oklahoma or Kansas State?
Yeah, I'll take Oklahoma as well. I don't know if we want to do the spread with this one. I've got 10.5 Oklahoma's giving. I'm sure it's a little bit more now, perhaps.
I've got,
you know, when you add, what do you got?
I got 13.5.
Okay, yeah, when you add that in, it kind of makes you think Kansas State if you're going the spread. But I'll just take it straight up and go Oklahoma. I think that's a no-brainer straight up.
So we're sticking with straight up, or are we going with the cover?
Go straight up on this one.
Okay, the next 12 o'clock, and this is one that Tommy warned me about today. This is an interesting one. Undefeated Mountaineers of West Virginia go to Lubbock up against Texas Tech. Who do you like in this one? West Virginia is favored by 2 points. Vegas, you are dirty. You are dirty.
I've got another dirty one here now when we get to it. I've got another one that's dirty because the line's dropped again. But
okay,
this is my upset special alert, Sports City. Give me Texas Tech. West Virginia has not played well in Lubbock ever. The only thing that scares me is this is a 12 o'clock kickoff East Coast time. It will be a 10 o'clock in the morning kickoff in Lubbock, Texas. NCAA, Big 12, you need to schedule these games a little better. But give me Texas Tech.
Doc, who do you like, Mountaineers or the Red Raiders?
I you know what? I think my brain is telling me the Red Raiders in all facets, straight up and the spread. But I have a little bit of an emotional attachment to the state of West Virginia. So I think that's the real upset, frankly, if West Virginia pulls this off, even though they're ranked higher than Tech. You know, those bottom teams in the rankings at this point, who the hell knows? I'm going to take the Mountaineers straight up. My thought might be a little bit different if we took the spread here. I think I would probably take Tech, but, I mean, we're talking 1.5, 2 points or whatever, so it's probably close to a pick 'em anyhow. But I'm going to take
right, the
Mountaineers straight up.
Hey, I have emotional attacks, too, from West Virginia. I'm from there, Martinsburg. But I ain't that dumb. I'm sorry.
He is too. He's from West Virginia. Well, he's an Ohio guy, but he's rooted out of West Virginia. Oh, I didn't know that both of these guys are from West Virginia like that. That's crazy. Well, I knew Tommy was. I just found out today that Doc has family ties in West Virginia too. This is interesting. Where do I go with this team? Can West Virginia stop the passing attack? Because that's all Texas Tech does. They pass the ball like crazy. Their quarterback is sitting at damn near 2,300 yards passing in week five. I mean, going into week six. Jesus Christ.
I tell you, you know what would be interesting on this one and not do the spread, but the over-under. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. But I would imagine the over-under's got to be 8 points.
It's 85.
Okay, I'll say over.
Whoa, this is an explosion, huh? Okay, okay. Well, I'll write that down. I'll say over for this one. Tommy, over or under 85?
I mean, West Virginia's defense is somewhat decent. I haven't really seen a whole lot of Tech. I'll go under.
That's a tough call. 85 is tough. You figure if you're going to go over that, you're going to have somebody in the low 50s and somebody in the mid 40s. That's a ton of points.
Hell yeah. If that's the case, I'm going with Tommy. I favor Texas Tech. And I think that this is an over. I think this is an over. There's something wrong with that. But I must admit, this is one of those get your popcorn ready type of games because it is about to go down. If it is a 2-point spread, but they said 85 over under, this is going to be very crazy. Very crazy.
Yeah, and what we used to do in college is when we had these kinds of games, we'd turn them on and take a shot every time somebody scored. That really adds to it.
That's bad news. That's bad news, boy. Okay. No, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Could you imagine going that way when they had Geno Smith and Tavon and all that? My God, you'd be drunk. You'd be blasted by the end of the first quarter.
I still got a guy in rehab because of that offense.
Okay, the next top 10 matchup or top 25 matchup I have is Nebraska up against Indiana. How do you guys feel about that game? Is Nebraska for real is the question around college football. But interesting, Indiana gave Ohio State a fight. This game is in Bloomington, and the spread is 3. So Nebraska's giving Indiana 3. Is everybody a Cornhusker fan in this game, yes or no?
I don't understand for the life of me why everyone's picking Indiana in this game. I think Nebraska's a top 10 team. I mean, are the rankings that off? That I mean, everyone I'm talking to is picking the Hoosiers. What the hell's a Hoosier? I don't know. But they're picking them, and I'm going to pick Nebraska because I just think they're the better team. I saw Indiana last week. Ohio State offense wasn't as crisp as what a lot of people would like. But even then, we still hung damn near 40 on them. I think Nebraska's got this easy, frankly.
Tommy, who do you like, Nebraska or Indiana?
Give me the Huskers.
Okay.
Tommy Armstrong could have a big day today.
Clean sweep. We are all Cornhusker fans in this matchup. Now, the next game that I have is probably the one that Tommy is discussing. The Tar Heels come to South Beach up against the Hurricanes. Tommy, I'll let you set it off if this is the one that you had in question.
Which one is it?
Tar Heels up against the Canes.
All right, first, something's fishy somewhere. Because when me and Ty talked last night, it was 8.5. Sports City, when we were in the green room talking, it was 6.5. It's dropped again. It is 6. Miami. I'm telling you, something's fishy somewhere. Sports City, let me say this. I'm a diehard Canes. I got to be. I pray, I worship the University of Miami. This game scares me, and this is why. Our offensive line sucks. We still ain't proven we can block a good front. North Carolina's got that good front. Jamal Carter is out for the first half thanks to that bullshit targeting crap, the Stewart targeting. That the ACC still will not answer Mark Rick's calls and ask and give him an answer. Give me North Carolina.
Oh, boy. Whoa. Okay.
I don't like this.
Tommy,
I'm
you
sorry.
Said something's fishy somewhere. Is my ex-girlfriend hanging out with you right now?
Oh, my goodness. Doc, who do you like in this game?
Oh, I'm going Tar Heels, baby. You know, and I'm not even going to sit here and talk trash last week about what happened. It was a rivalry game, hell of a game. You know, it happens. I don't think we found out anything one way or another from both teams when you're in a game like that. I just continue to think that North Carolina is the better team in this matchup, and so that's who I'm taking.
I need to gain ground on them, and I don't feel bad doing it. C-A-N-E-S-K-K-K. Yeah, I'm going with my boys. I'm going with the boys at home. I know that it looks fishy. I know that Tyre is nursing an injury, but he is playing. I feel like we get it done just because of what Williams did last year, throwing our U down. That's right. He made the U signal and threw it down. Revenge is on my mind. Let's go.
Hey, he really watched it. That Swisher boy did it.
Well, I got a red eye right now for these Tar Heels. That's right. I got a whole bunch of family in North Carolina, so I know that there's more attached to this game than meets the eye. I'm going with Miami. I'm a diehard Hurricane, and I'm not backing away from my team right now. Let's go.
And North Carolina got exposed a little bit last week. Frankly, I mean, they got plummeled by Virginia Tech, and I called that game 34-3. They got beat by Tech.
Of course, that Hurricane had a lot to do with that.
That's true, too. That is
they
true.
Couldn't
that,
throw the football. They couldn't do anything right. The only thing that I think we have got to be careful. If our front four can get to him, to the quarterback, I'd like our chances. But if we let him sit back there and pick us apart with that crybaby Switzer and some of these other receivers they've got, we could be in trouble.
Well, hey,
definitely
was
harder out the first half.
He's already chosen North Carolina people. I'm not going back against that. No. Western Michigan up against Akron. Do we want to pick that game? Wake Forest up against Florida State. Do we want to pick that game? Any of those two?
Absolutely. We have to pick Western Michigan and Akron. I got a Northeast Ohio team into this, and I'm taking the Akron Zips, baby.
Okay, so I'll get into this one. Tommy, who do you like in this one? Western Michigan, who's actually been playing very well. They're 6-0 playing good ball, or Akron?
Jesus, we really got to talk about the MAC.
I know.
Give me Western Michigan.
Team rank.
Just give me the
Western. I'm with you, Tommy. I'm going with Western Michigan, too. They are playing great ball. And, of course, you know, I got ties with people out there in Detroit. They are now talking about Western Michigan in the same lights as the Wolverines. I was going to say Michigan State, but they are not talking about Green this year. No. If they are, they are talking about D'Antonio's job. They are talking about D'Antonio's job. Wake Forest, Florida State, do we want to talk about that one? Wake Forest is 5-1, but they are in Tallahassee. Do we want to pick that game?
Let's do the spread in this one if we do take it. 21.5 is what I see. It might be more, but if it's high like that, I'll take Wake Forest with the points.
Okay, he's saying Wake covers. Okay, 22.5. Tommy, 22. We'll go 22. Doc, I'll say 22. You still want to say
22?
22. Okay. Tommy, your thoughts, Wake or Florida State? Florida State's giving me 22.
Florida State will win, but I don't like the 20. They ain't going to win by no 22.
Oh,
Wake Forest has
Wake.
Defense.
Okay. I am going to go with Florida State. I think they are going to pick up their momentum now after that game up against Miami. I think they cover. I think they take care of that 22.
Ooh, big points.
No way.
Kansas or Baylor, do we pick this one? The spread is 33.5.
Jesus. I almost think you gotta go against the spread on this one. I mean, obviously Baylor is going to win. At least I think so. Maybe so. That's a lot of damn points.
What do you want to do? Do they cover or not?
Start with Tommy.
Mr. Beard, who do you like in this one? Baylor or Kansas? Does Baylor cover the 33.5?
Wow. Let's see. Kansas hasn't won a FBS game in, what, 2-3 years?
Something like that. Yeah. It's something like that.
30 points. Now, this was the old Ork or the old Baylor. I'd say maybe. You know what? Hell, give me that. Yeah, give me that. I think they might be able to cover. They're playing a home game for Baylor. Yeah, go ahead.
And they cover. Okay. I am with Tommy. Baylor is going to bash these guys, and they are going to cover. Okay. Mr. Russell, who do you like and why? You've been hiding for too long. And the quarterback. And
I'm working,
Doc,
in the weeds.
Listen, Doc, the quarterback's name is Seth Russell, just so you know. Just so you know.
You know, I'll say this. Do you think Kansas can drop 20 points on Baylor? Because
no.
If you do, then Baylor's going to have to put up.
Tommy, no helping him. Don't help him pick. Please don't help him pick.
If you think Kansas can put 20 on Baylor, then you probably should take Kansas minus the points. But you know what? I'll take Kansas in the points just because you guys took Baylor.
So you're going with Kansas. Okay. Here we go. Here
Kansas
we go.
In the points. 30. How many points? Was this, say 34.5?
I got 35.
You got 35.5? Good God almighty.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take it. 35.5 points.
Okay. 35.5. Baylor, blow these dudes out. Blow them out. I cannot be wrong on this one. Okay, the game of the day to me, Alabama versus Tennessee in Knoxville. Alabama's favored by 13.5, but I want to pick this one straight up. How do you guys feel about it? Does Tennessee win this game and shock the world, or is the tide going to keep on rolling?
I got to tell you, starting – Tommy, feel free to start if you want.
Give me Alabama. Tennessee, they better not start slow or they could get just drubbed. Because I'm sorry, if you get down, you're not coming back against this Alabama defense. Alabama.
Okay,
I want Tennessee to win this game so bad.
Wow.
I want them to win. But they're not gonna.
Okay.
They're just not gonna win. This is their season. They've had a stretch. Alabama's in the middle of a 4-game stretch. After this game, Tennessee's on cruise control. I wouldn't be surprised if they win out. So will that be enough to get them going? We'll find out. But I think Alabama's a machine this year, and the SEC isn't as compact at the top as it used to be. It is Alabama. Two or three other teams, and then way down there, everybody else. So I'm going to take Alabama straight up.
I just want to take this time out right now for City to say this committee, I'm ashamed at you because Tennessee lost last week and they didn't move a spot. Tommy made me aware of this when it happened because I was like, the Tennessee movie, like they didn't move at all. And they lost an interesting game, but it's not fair that everybody else loses and moves, but Tennessee doesn't. So this is a situation where I feel like Alabama takes care of business, continues to roll this tide. Now where do you sit Tennessee and Butch Jones right now? Even though they're having a very good season, I don't want to totally throw them under the bus. I'm talking about the committee. I'm not talking about Tennessee because I feel like Tennessee is overachieving at this point. They're overachieving. But I'm going to go with Alabama as well.
Well, there's your SEC bias, Ty.
How does a team lose
and not fall? Because they want Alabama to have a top 10 matchup.
Right,
well,
exactly.
They got the coaches poll. The coaches poll has seven SEC teams in the top 25. Seven.
That's bullcrap. That's a bunch of bullcrap. If we weren't on air, I would say it differently, but that's bullcrap. Okay.
And I'll say this: I wanted Tennessee to do well. I like that kind of story. I think they're a good football team, but they're not top 10, and they're not going to beat Alabama.
I don't, and I agree with you, Doc. I don't even think they are a top 10 team. Tennessee had to just get by Georgia. They had to just get by Georgia, and then they lost last week, and they don't move. They don't move.
Well, you talk the hell with Georgia. They went to overtime with Appalachian State. That our Canes went into their place that was supposed to be so tough and drubbed them.
I forgot about that Appalachian State game that they had, too. That's icing on the cake. And that icing the cake. Tennessee, I don't want to hold this against you like I'm hating you. I'm talking about the committee. If they are so off balance, it's not even funny. It's not funny. It's not. No consistency at all whatsoever. But, hey, okay, moving right along, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, does anybody feel Syracuse could win at home?
Boy, that's
okay,
19 and a half points.
Yeah, well, I see 20 and a half. I mean, do you want to take this game?
No, I don't want any part of this one.
Yeah. Tommy, do you want it? I mean, you're right there in the state as well.
Nope.
Okay, next game is Utah up against Oregon State. Vegas is up to something funny. Okay, Utah. 21 weeks in Oregon, up in Corvallis. Utah favored by a touchdown. How do you guys feel about this game? I do want to take this because I do like the Beavers, but I don't want to pick them. I don't want to pick them. Doc, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, when the line was 9.5 points, I think people were taking Oregon State. Now it's down to 7. I think that's a little bit more favorable to Utah. I don't know if we want to pick on the spread here. I'm cool if we don't, but I'm going to take the Utes.
Yeah, I bet you they won't pick against Utah again. I know that much. They won't do it. Tommy, who do you like in this game?
Oh, Jesus, another Pac-12 game.
I know.
So tells me just to go with Oregon State just because.
Everybody likes Beaver.
Because I'm telling you, there's something. I mean, well, I'll go Utah.
And you
hopefully
right
rains
Oregon
in Corvallis.
Okay, I'm going with Utah as well because Utah plays defense. That is the one thing that I will give Utah. They do play defense. The over-under is at 40.5. Something is interesting. That 7 may stick. I'm going to go with Utah, but we aren't even picking with the spread. Missouri, Florida, do we want to touch that? Missouri is 2-3 right now, not playing the best of football, even though we know that they're a passing school. Florida rearranging their game, which they canceled for the hurricane for November 19th, and South Alabama is pretty pissed off about that. Florida, Missouri, do we want to take that game or keep moving?
Let's move.
Okay, another game. Do we touch Tulsa and Houston? Everybody, this is the game I was talking about, that Tulsa will play Houston and have that shootout type of game. Is that going to happen today after Houston takes that loss that Tommy talked up?
I don't like this line. 21.5 is what I've got for Houston. That's disrespectful to Tulsa, especially on a rival game. This could be another one. Tulsa could go in there and beat them.
You think Houston's going to lose
back? Think about it. Houston had everybody talking about Houston, Final Four. This could be a playoff team. They'll be undefeated until Louisville. Does this team have a letdown? This is interesting. I don't like at 21 and a half.
Do it then, Tom. Do it. Then do it. Do it. You take the Tulsa, yes or no? Do it.
Give me Houston the win, but it's closer than 21 and a half.
So they don't. Houston doesn't cover, though.
No.
Doc, how do you feel about it? He has it at 21 and a half. Do you feel Houston covers and wins, or do you feel Tulsa wins and doesn't? I mean, how do you feel this goes down?
Yeah, back to that Utah-Oregon State game. Hopefully it's raining in Corvallis because everyone likes to play around with a wet beaver. Back to this game, Tulsa.
Why do you really have to push that? Like you really, we're two games past that. You really want to go there? Okay, fine.
I just got to jump back a little. Tulsa and Houston. Let's get a little nuts with this one. Let's take the spread and for a bonus point, the over under. I don't know what it is. So if we're picking against the spread,
it's 71.
Okay. If we're picking 71 is the over-under. I'm going to take Tulsa plus the points, and I'm going to say over.
Tommy, how do you feel about over-under?
It's 71?
Yep.
Houston's got a defense.
I mean, how many did Navy put up, and they don't even pass the ball?
Yeah, but that's a triple off.
They were passing the ball in that game, though. That's the thing, though. They were passing.
I'll go over.
Okay, over. I am going to go Houston. And they cover, and I am going to say over, no doubt. Over, no doubt. Yes, sir. That is going to happen. Ole Miss, Arkansas. Oh, God. Here we go. I don't know which way to go. Both of these teams, I don't know what team is going to show up. Is this the Mississippi team that shows up the past couple of weeks, or is this the Mississippi team that falls apart in the fourth quarter? I.e. the San Diego Chargers, or is Arkansas just going to just leave the gate wide open and just let everybody run through that doggone end zone? I'll go first, finally, on this one. I'm going with Ole Miss, especially with Kelly and all his off-the-field issues. I think he needs this to get back under his belt. I'm going with Ole Miss. Tommy, Ole Miss in Arkansas.
Oh, boy, and it's in Fayetteville. I'll go Chad Kelly and the Ole Miss Rebels.
Okay. Doc, who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, this is a shit burger game here. We're all going to look bad maybe no matter what we do. Just put your hand over the rankings and just go with it. And I'm going with Ole Miss. I think their line play on both sides of the ball is going to be trouble for Arkansas. We saw what happens to Arkansas when a team that can punch back is able to punch back with Alabama. And I'm going Ole Miss, straight up.
Arkansas, you made me look bad last week. I called y'all as the upset, and boy, was I upset. I was upset. Okay, the game of the evening, Doc should be at the edge of his seat, Ohio State in Madison up against those Badgers. Who wins this game and why? Tommy, I'll come to you first.
Wow. If I'm correct, and I'm sure if I'm wrong, Doc will let me know, the last two times these two teams have played, well, no, the last time this team played in Madison, I believe Terrell Pryor was the quarterback and got throttled. There's just something about playing at Madison at night. I don't know. This is a young Ohio State team, young defense, but Wisconsin doesn't really have an offense to threaten. I mean, that Michigan, if you go back to that Michigan game when they played, it was 14-7. I mean, see, I've got Ohio State 10.5. I'll go Ohio State because I still think the Big Ten wants that matchup in the year of both teams unbeaten. So give me Ohio State. Even
Mr.
though
Russell,
I would love to knock them off.
Mr. Russell, your hometown team and school that you graduated from, or the Badgers?
Best team in the country right now, hands down, is Ohio State. Let me say something. I've been to Camp Randall. I've been up there. I've had marshmallows frozen, loaded with nickels thrown at me. I've seen what happens
wow.
when you, all of that stuff. People piss on other people. It happens. Let me
really?
Tell you something. You know how you know in Wisconsin they got this cheese fetish. These fat, bloated penguins got cheese fetishes, and they talk in their nose like this. And when they make love with their women or maybe an animal, they put cheese in between them. And sometimes the friction gives you a nacho cheese. I mean,
oh my
life is so backwards in Wisconsin. A delicacy is a dilly bar from Dairy Queen. You know,
oh
the men smell and the women smell even worse in Madison, Wisconsin. And guess what? In Madison, they don't shave either. They don't shave anywhere. So here we go. Ohio State's going to win this game. Ohio State's going to win this game, but I don't think they're going to cover. I got 10.5. Maybe somebody look. This is going to be a three. This is going to be a 3 or 4 point game. It is always tight in Madison because of the environment at night. It's going to be close. I think Ohio State has it. I would love to see them come out and pump their Beavers like they did in the Big Ten championship game with our third string quarterback 59-0 and stuffed a big cheese ball down their running back's throat in that game, Gordon. Big weapon he was. But I at the end of the day, I think it's going to be close. So I would take Wisconsin in the points, but Ohio State's going to win this game.
Oh, say, can you see? Controversy like crazy. So you know what controversy? I'm going with another upset. I'm going with the Badgers to pull this off outright. Forget the point. I'm going with Wisconsin to get it done. Tommy pumped me up just enough. The last time a quarterback went in there, TP fell apart. So, listen, if JT could get it done, he definitely stapled his name as probably the high-ranking quarterback for that Heisman. Because Wisconsin plays D. And the reason why I like this, that over-under is at 44. But they have 11 points in between them on this line. It's very fishy. I like Wisconsin in this matchup. I like it. One more game, and then we'll shut her down. Does anybody feel like the Rams or Colorado State could deal with Boise State? Boise State is back hot again. 5-0. The spread is 28. Nobody. Okay, they don't even want to deal with it. I'll go first. I'll go with the Broncos. I think they cover. They are on the blue turf. I think the Broncos get it done. I'm going with Boise State just to get this out of the way. Doc, how do you feel about this one?
Boise State, not even close. Give the points and take the over.
The over-under is 58.5. Cover over. Okay, and Tommy, how do you feel about it, the Rams or the Broncos?
I think this Broncos team wins this week because the other Bronco team laid an egg against them Chargers. So.
I know. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But how do you feel? Do you feel Boise State covers that 28?
Yeah, they're at home.
And over or under?
Give me under.
Oh,
in West Virginia,
the points are.
I think they cover and it's over as well. I think that 28, they're gonna at least put up 50 themselves if they get them by that 28. I think they'll get, they got this. I'm going with Boise State. Okay, fellas, we picked top to bottom, top 25, so we have a lot for City. I do have to talk with Don to see how we went across the board with the over-unders last week because I had a different score. I had both of them beating me regardless. So I got to get back into the thing because college, I'm doing bad, but pro football, I'm on top of the pile, and it's not even to be discussed right now. It's not even to be discussed right now how I'm looking in the NFL. But in college, I got to get back on the board. I'm looking terrible. I'm mad at myself. Okay, I need plugs and closeouts from the both of you. Mr. Russell, I'll let you go first. Thank you for coming to the tailgate and holding it down. Shut it down as we come to an end here in Sports City.
Well, it's always good to be here cooking with Tommy and TP, the timeless wonder on the campus tailgate. We got the games underway right now. Check us out in archives here to make sure you hold us all accountable to what we say, especially when it comes to that nacho cheese sexual friction in Wisconsin later tonight. The Brahma Bull is out.
Oh, my God. Sports City, I try. Look, it's not me. Just know that it's not me. And if you listen to the three of us, you probably would think I'm the troublemaker. Well, it's not me, okay? It's not me. I don't even know Tommy. I know Tommy, but I don't know if he's a troublemaker or not. Tommy don't start trouble. But I'm out of the lineup, okay? If you ever see the movie Usual Suspects, I'm walking out, okay? Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out as we shut it down here at the show game.
Yeah, I had tried to ignore trouble anymore. It's been an emotional week for me. A lot of people probably don't know that I've lost someone real close to me, almost like a father figure to me this week. Fulton Walker, from the same city that I'm from, played at WVU, played for the Miami Dolphins, actually had a 98-yard kickoff return in a Super Bowl against the Redskins. I believe he played 4 years there. Played into the Oakland Raiders. It was the Los Angeles Raiders. You'll be missed, Mr. Walker. Thank you for everything. Everything. You helped me. You will be missed. Rest in peace, Fulton Walker.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back at tomorrow with the brunch, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't know what to say after that, man. My condolences to the Walker family. My heart's with my brother right now, man. And they went from an easygoing show to a lighthearted situation, man. I'm here for you, though, Tommy. You already know. I dealt with a fair amount of it this summer, man. I don't even know what to say, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'll be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts next to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. Since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was, but these bright lights turned into a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light.